Richard Spires is with me at Management of Change Conference. And we talked a little bit before we began about FITARA and the execution of it. Mm-hmm. And we have guidance now from the Office of Management and Budget about it. What did you see there that you liked? You told me you're overall positive about the future of FITARA and the changes, the impact that it can have. What do you see that you like so much, Richard?
Well, the first thing that I liked is the fact that the law was passed, which is great, and then OMB reached out. I mean, they didn't just, within their own offices figure out, okay, here's the guidance we're going to put out. They reached out both to the existing CIO community across government, but they also reached out to organizations outside in order to get input about best practices, what works, what does not work. And I was just very pleased to see the actual guidance, draft guidance that's come out for public comment. I think it sets the right tone. Everybody acknowledges that not all agencies are alike, not all departments are the same, and so there's got to be this ability to adapt. But there's this this baseline, if you will. There's this framework that says you need to meet this baseline, and then how you go about tailoring it to your agency, we're going to want to understand that mm-hmm. and bless that, but we're going to give you the flexibility to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that's all really positive. And so I think the fact that OMB has been open about that process, serious about it, I think it gives it a chance for us to actually do this in such a way that can be very meaningful. Versus what I understood, and this predates me by quite a bit, the Clinger-Cohen Act, it got enacted, but there was never really the push, the right kind of push, in order to embed it, if you will, to integrate it into the agencies in the right way. Mm-hmm. So with FITARA, at least as we sit here today, I think the right steps are being taken to do that.
What are the next steps, do you think, after that, to make sure that the positive steps that you're seeing now continue to do? I mean, that reinforcement of it and the ingraining of it into the business lines of the agency seems to be the most critical thing,
right?
Both that people are hopeful about and worried about.
Well, and I would say that this next, we got about a little over a year and a half mm-hmm. left on this administration. And so in some sense, you could say it's not an ideal time. It's probably not a good time. But I would challenge the administration to say, hey, we've got the year and a half. Let's get the foundations working of FITARA, right? And so one of the things that I think needs to be done is, some agencies are far along in being able to do things like set up the right governance structures, set up the right delegations, and some are going to need help. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm suggesting is that groups like ACT-IACT actually help the government in laying out specific models that have worked in government, and we can work with the ACT organization to do that, and that also work in the private sector, right? I mean, there are obviously some things that are unique about government and federal government, but there are also a lot of things that we can learn from the private sector in this. So let's also get individuals that have run large IT organizations from private sector to help in this and pull together some models mm-hmm. that agencies can use as they work to figure out how they're going to implement FITARA in their agency. So that's, I think, a very important part of this as a next step.
So you mentioned the timing being a year and a half out from the end of the administration. And I think you're right. On the one hand, the timing is not ideal. On the other hand, the timing potentially is really good, because if those foundations are laid in the way that you suggest, the next administration, whoever he or she is that leads that administration, they might not have much, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, they might not have much choice about implementation, because the foundations potentially can be laid to such a degree that the next logical step is, well, even though we might not, we being the next administration, might not think this is perfect, it's already in place, it's this mm-hmm. far along, and so it doesn't make any sense for us to pretend that we're going to start something over.
Francis, can agree completely with your point. I mean, I think we've got this opportunity. If this administration can do it right, why would the next administration derail something that's starting to work, mm-hmm. right? Now, I always say, when people ask about this, change of this magnitude is going to take a while, right? I mean, I don't think we're going to see tremendously demonstrable results for another 4 or 5 years of making these changes. And they're going to be somewhat painful. But I think if you go through that, the next administration, within the first term of the next administration, has a chance to really, really make a difference in how IT supports the mission and business of government.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of hoping that that's the, as you say, that two-step process, foundation now, next administration picks up that ball and runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need is to make sure that the tools are in place for this administration to be able to get off on the right foot. One other point I should make is, you know, I'm a technologist and the CIO in the past, but this isn't just about the CIO,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, this is really about all the stakeholders. So, you know, the CFO organization and the procurement organization and right, and privacy and legal, and I mean you need everybody working together on the right governance model to make this work, and that's absolutely critical to get right.
Richard Spires of Resilient Network Systems, my guest. Do you think enough people outside of the CIO shops at that level that you're just describing, the financial management shops, the chief counsel shops, and all of that, are bought in enough yet to the success of FITARA, understanding that if this CIO works the way that it's supposed to, the job works the way mm-hmm. that it's supposed to under FITARA, my life will also be easier and better. And so I should do what I need to do to make sure that this happens as well. Do you have any sense that that's happening yet or has the potential to happen?
I'd like to say it has the potential to happen. I'm not really in a position to say. I will say, though, that, I mean, there is a sense that this is more empowering to the CIO, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, certainly I have heard that there is some misgivings in other parts, if you will, other organizations about what that could mean.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, I mean, doing IT well in any organization benefits everybody.
Right.
And I think that's got to be the attitude. And I don't think anybody with a straight face could look and say, we're doing it very well today. So why don't we try a model that, you know, is really proven in private sector to work pretty effectively for leading organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's borrow from that model and make this much better.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that the change that happens under FITARA could be somewhat painful. What do you see those pain points being? And what might ease those pain points, either during the transition process or even in preparation for the transition process, to make sure that they're not as difficult as they could be?
Yeah, the pain points, look, many, particularly in the federated models, like the large departments like DHS, transportation, others, where you've got a lot of components or bureaus, whatever they're called in that particular department, that have a lot of autonomy. And when you're saying, well, that's, you know, we understand that, but in order for us to do IT effectively across the whole organization, there are some things that should be done, okay, at an enterprise level, right? They just should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just best practice today, no doubt. And that's painful because you're essentially shifting the roles of many of those individuals, if you will, in those bureaus. So that's one pain point. I think, too, in my experience in government, the governance models are not as effective as they need to be. And in a sense, what I'm advocating is a more shared, collaborative model, because that's the only way you can deliver solid IT programs.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot dictate these things, and they don't work that way. And It's just somewhat countercultural, to be honest. So I think mm-hmm. those are a couple pain points. As far as easing those pains, you know, I'm not sure I've got a good answer on that. I think good education, good involvement. If you're going to have the headquarters organization taking on more responsibility, which is what FITARA will demand, then I think having a good governance structure that has those bureaus involved appropriately is critical, right? I mean, you need to bring them along. You need to involve them. You need to have them, when they've got good ideas, those be brought forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think it's a collaborative effort, but it does shift the power base. It should shift the power base a bit.
Final thought. A couple of CIOs have expressed not disappointment exactly, but just kind of bemusement that this discussion about FITARA is happening at the same time as we see the rise of the digital services cores across government, where structurally, you talked about architecture, and structurally, in some cases, these digital services organizations are growing kind of separately from the CIO organization or with the blessing of the CIO organization, but not with jurisdiction over it. And this is still kind of an amorphous, shifting landscape.
Well, I appreciate that. But, I mean, digital services, if you're using IT to deliver them, and I think you usually are, that's IT.
Right.
And in my view, the CIO, I love some of what's going on with digital services. Don't get me wrong. That's not my point. My point is that you can't now immediately say, well, this isn't part of what we're talking about, right? It is key to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And digital services needs to be, you know, under the jurisdiction of the CIO, just like any other IT needs to be under the jurisdiction of the CIO for this to work.
And that's I guess, where the bemusement is coming from, because so far I'm not sure that your colleagues who are still CIOs in government are positive that that's how this is being described to them. I think there's still a sense that digital services are this thing over here, and their organization is this thing over here, and nobody's really given much guidance yet as to how these kids are all supposed to play together.
All right. Well, I guess we shall see how that works out. I mean, I think the guidance coming out from OMB around FITARA is pretty clear. And I don't see how you can make an argument that digital services wouldn't fall into that bailiwick. But this is the implementation side of it that we're talking about now and where some of the pain points may arise.
Excellent to talk to you as always, Richard. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Francis, for having me on.